podcast from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Office of National Mission. This is God's Mission Here.
Thanks so much for joining us. I'm your host, Deaconess Tiffany Manor. Today, we are going to be talking about God's mission in some places that are in communities just like yours. I'm joined by one of my coworkers, Stephanie Neugebauer, and Dave Kuschel, Assistant Vice President of Concordia Plan Services. Do I have that title right?
Yes, Assistant Vice President of Strategic Relationships.
Oh, I might not have gotten the strategic relationships.
That's okay, but you're there.
Yeah. Okay, well, welcome. And in addition to your title, how about if you tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself and the other vocations you have in addition to the work at Concordia Plan?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much, Stephanie, Tiffany. It's great to be here and talk about this topic. As Stephanie said, professionally, I work for Concordia Plan Services. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. That's an entity here in the LCMS some of you may be familiar with. But really what we're here mostly to talk about, I think, is some of the ways that I've been able to serve and support in some of the ministries that my family and I are involved in. Specifically, I'm a member of Christ Memorial Lutheran Church here in the St. Louis area. And my children are both graduates of Green Park Lutheran School. They are both in college now, so they're past those days, but Green Park is a pre-K through 8 school. And I was able to serve in a number of ways at both of those ministries and continue to.
Oh, that's great. So you've done a lot of work for the church in various ways, both in your professional life and your personal life.
Yeah, I've been here at Concordia Plans for almost 11 years and been serving in these capacities for longer than that. So it's been a real blessing.
Oh, that's great. We often like to start this particular podcast, God's Mission Here, with the basics about God's mission, where it is and who gets to be involved. And perhaps you want to share your perception of God's mission. I know in the Office of National Mission, we like to encourage people to see that it's not something far away or exotic in another country, but the work that God gives us to do right where He places us and the vocations He gives us. And so people can look around and see God's mission right near them.
Absolutely. And we came here to talk today, and we'll get more into this, about lay people and how lay people can be leaders within their home ministries, at their community that they're a part of with their family. And that's some of the great positions I've been able to have over the years, and we can talk about that for sure. I just view that opportunity for lay people is so great and so significant to help lead. We have our pastoral leaders, and we have our other leaders in our church ministries or our school ministries, principals, of course, at the church. You might have a DCE, a director of worship, those types of people. But there's really great opportunity for lay people to use the skills, the talents that God has given them to help in leadership also. My personal background, or professional background, I should say, I do kind of communications, public relations, marketing type work, and have for all of my career. And so I've been able to contribute in ways with maybe doing some writing or some strategy around messaging and things like that for some key projects at the ministries that I'm involved with. So people can think about how many different ways they can contribute. There are a lot of different ways we can talk about some of those using what God has gifted you with.
Yeah. Well, Steph, what about for you? You know, you got a lot of gifts and skills and have served in several congregations. How is it that you describe to people what God's mission is and how people can get involved?
Oh, that's a good question. I wasn't expecting you to ask me.
Sorry about that one.
What is God's mission and how can you get involved? Well, speaking as I am a lay person technically in my church. I'm a pastor's wife. So in my home congregation of Redeemer Lutheran in Paragould, Arkansas, I am simply someone else in the pew. Obviously, I also volunteer where I can, whether that's leading Bible studies or helping out with Vacation Bible School or Sunday school. I guess I bring somewhat of a lay perspective, even though I'm married to a pastor. So I guess that's not really fair. But what I would say is that your mission is wherever your feet are planted and to whom surround you and are in need of acts of mercy in order to share God's love and His gospel. And so that sounds really generic, but honestly, it brings it down to earth for regular folk like me and like a lot of our listeners. The beauty of what Luther did in the Reformation is to say you don't need to be a nun or a monk to have this special place in God's kingdom work. You can do that right where you are. and God's mission. It's right there. It's in the field. It's shoemaking. It's being an advertisement professional, and not just through Concordia Plans, but if you're out working for a secular organization. And so I love, though, that this particular one we get to bring into the discussion of church work, because I think we got a lot of valuable things to say about the gifts and skills of lay leaders and how they can support their church workers.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of the listeners, you know, the stuff you made it really practical, but it might not be immediately obvious that something like worker wellness is a mission of Christ Church. But you were describing, Steph, how your feet being planted where you are, and you know, looking to those around you as mission, and as lay people, we sometimes get the perception that our church workers, our pastors, our teachers, our DCs, deaconesses, directors of parish music, all of these vocations are here to serve us, right? We're the recipients of their service, their ministry. But we're the body of Christ, and we're actually all called to care for one another. So it flows both ways. Dave, what are your thoughts on worker wellness as a mission of Christ Church?
Oh, absolutely. I think about the different positions I've been in and the different opportunities that I've had to care for our church workers. And I have been in these positions such as Board of Elders member or currently serving on church council or school board at Green Park, which I mentioned earlier, and having the kind of deeper connection with the leaders of those ministries, pastor, principal, other folks in those positions, has really given me special insight into some of the challenges that come with those types of positions. Some of the, in addition to my work at Concordia Plans, and we'll talk about that too, potentially about some of the challenges we see in church workers, but people, lay people, have a great opportunity to observe, to watch what is pastor, what is his family, what are they challenged with? I'm involved in this ministry. I see what's happening. What can I do to help? And to think about, he's not on his own. We are leading this congregation. We are leading this church together as a church body. We are all here. God has called us to be here as a church body, and we can help. And there are a lot of different ways to do that. And some people might think, well, I'm not cut out to be a leader. I'm not cut out to be on the board of elders. I don't want to give that kind of commitment. There are a lot of ways that we can help in our church body. And in doing that, help lead those among us that have gathered together, and also maybe alleviate some of the challenges, some of the craziness of the schedule of some of our on-staff leaders as well.
Dave, how have you seen your lay leaders around you? Because you're one of them, you are a lay leader, but how have you seen you and your fellow lay leaders come together and support and care for your church workers?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the first thing that came to mind is probably going to come to mind for most of our listeners is we can pray for our leaders. We can pray for our church leaders. And you don't have to be a lay leader to do that, of course. You can be you can be someone who shows up on Sunday morning or drops their kids off at school and put those leaders in your prayers. Now, as a lay leader, as a member of a board or a council, like I said, we do have a little more insight into some of the challenges, maybe some of the things that are happening in the school or in the church or in the ministry. So that might provide a little more opportunity to know, oh, this is definitely a time where pastor, you know, might need my prayers, but always a good idea there. And think about those, you know, especially busy times, especially challenging times that the leader's going through. Maybe they're deliberating a call. That doesn't happen very often. Maybe that's happening, or you're going to a busy season or especially challenging times at the ministry. So that's one I think that applies to all of us. And then there are a lot of different things that are kind of a whole big spectrum of ways that you can help, or the ways that I've seen people help. At our church, we have a sabbatical policy, and I know not everyone is in a position to say, okay, we have this or we're going to enact this, but we've been able in the last few years to make sure that two of our pastors were able to take the sabbaticals that were kind of written into the way we work, the way we operate as a congregation. And one of our director of worship did as well recently. So that's a great opportunity. Let them go be refreshed and come back and filled with the Spirit and come back and tell us, you know, this is what I learned, this is what I felt, this is what happened, and that it just really adds to the work of the congregation. And on a, you know, maybe a more day-to-day level is when I was at the school, we, as a board, every year, a couple times a year, we would do handwritten notes to the teachers. And we would say, you know, it's been, you know, we might be halfway through the semester and things have been a little rocky and we just got through conferences or whatever the case is. And it's a little bit of a challenging time. So let's write those handwritten notes. And we got a lot of response from teachers that we really appreciate that. And it's not about money. Sometimes we put in there a $5 Starbucks gift card or something like like that, and that helps too. But I know that those teachers and other leaders appreciate that people are thinking of me. You know, any of us can let pastor know, we're thinking of you, we're praying for you, we're praying for your family. And those kinds of things, I believe would mean something and would make an impact. Like, no, we do care about you, pastor, and we're praying for your well-being.
You know, I've tested out a theory that I had a few years back throughout the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every time I'm talking about worker wellness out in the church, I ask this question. And my theory was this, that every single church worker has kept a file of those note cards you described, those handwritten notes. Maybe not every single greeting card they ever received for their birthday or Christmas, but like the ones with meaningful handwritten words written in them or letters. And so I've asked the church workers this, and every single church worker I've asked this question of says, yes, I have kept a file for those days that are hard, when I'm discouraged, when Satan would like to have me confused and think about giving up. I can pull out this file and read through those cards and see the impact of the ministry on the people that I've been serving.
Yeah, so absolutely.
It is something anyone can do.
You don't have to be elected leader, chosen for account, or whatever the position is. Yeah. Anyone can do that, right?
Or pick up the phone.
Yeah.
Well, this may seem kind of obvious, but I think it's worth stating, or at least putting some ideas out there, what kind of impact. We've mentioned an impact of what these cards do, but what kind of impact have people said to you, Dave, or have you just felt, has that had on the health and well-being of the church workers that's done for?
Yeah, I mean, that specific example I'm thinking of is, I mentioned we did this on the school board at the Lutheran school, and we would send out the handwritten notes. And for a couple of years, we were doing, school board members would adopt a couple of teachers, and we would do more than just, we would do monthly kind of correspondence and encouragement. And so for us, it was about the sending, and then we would very often get something back. Or you would see that teacher next time you were up at the school and you're dropping your child off, or at the next activity. And people are just so appreciative to know that they're being thought of, that they're being cared for. And as leaders of the school board, maybe it felt a little bit different than, but I don't think it has to. Any one of us, like we said, can certainly do that. And while there are certainly maybe grander things that may take more time, that might take more expense or whatever it is, but there are little things like that we can all do to let them know we care.
So I just pulled up an article that came up in my Google news feed just yesterday. And I mean, it's my personalized newsfeed, so Google's figured out
no
the
surprise,
kind of stuff I like to read about. And it was saying, it was about appreciation and for employees. And so while our church workers are not, oftentimes we don't consider them employees. They are employees, but you know, they're an integral part of the ministry. They're more than employees.
Right.
But you know, this is relevant. So this article was saying, expressing appreciation boosts the dopamine and serotonin in both the giver and the receiver, activating brain regions associated with motivation, connection, and emotional regulation. So I read that, a lot of big words there, but I read that and I say, God designed our brains to really need and respond to appreciation and recognition from the people in our lives. And what an impact it can make. And so this, you know, article went on to go on and say, you know, your employees are just that simple act of appreciation and encouragement, how much it can change their work life.
And I think two things in my life, where I'm not saying I didn't appreciate my church workers before these things happened, but going to be in leadership positions at the church and then coming to work here in the International Center really opened my eyes to I'm not a pastor, I'm not a called worker, but to a little better understanding of what some of those challenges are. Those folks who don't have those kind of roles, or certainly the kind of place I work, it may not occur to them. They may go to church on Sunday and we love pastor, and then we see him a few other, or whatever the case is, and don't always think about that. So it's just a good reminder, I think, that little things can mean a lot.
Yeah. Well, certainly now with your professional position with Concordia Plans, you have a pulse on the current health of church workers in ways you know, didn't before, and certainly the average elder or choir member at church would have. So what do you understand about the health of the workers and really perhaps some of the biggest threats to church worker wellness?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Concordia Plans, we administer benefits. So health plan is a big piece of that. And a big piece of that is mental health. We can address all these things, but we have definitely spent a lot of time focusing on mental health, and it wasn't new during COVID, but there was definitely a spike. And now that's 5 years ago. We're already at this point, but out of that, a lot of entities in the Senate in a very good way said this is something we need to be focusing on. And at Concordia Plans, we had already been providing services, and we kind of looked at what we were doing and decided we could do some enhanced things. So these are for church workers who are in our health plan, which is a lot of them are in the health plan. But, you know, we hear things. We do surveys of church workers, mental health surveys. I know your office does some of those same types of things. Mm-hmm. And we get feedback, like, where are they feeling that they need help? Who do they feel that they can talk to? Are they feeling that they can, do they know they have resources through us, for example, or other places? So we hear of challenges of people maybe feeling disconnected, or they don't have anyone to talk to, or they're struggling in an area maybe that's new to them. Maybe they feel like they're kind of under a spotlight because they're in that leadership role on the staff. And so on the mental health side, just kind of to close that loop a little bit, you know, we have programs for those, and we have just last year we launched. Many people are probably familiar with the employee assistance program concept. A lot of workplaces have that. We were able to launch last year an enhanced EAP. So it basically, a short version is it provides a mental health care navigator to everyone who engages with it to make sure you get the right help at the right time with the right person who can help. And those I don't have the numbers on me, but I know that the numbers of sessions that have been used is not the right word, but the number of sessions that have taken place this year is on pace to far exceed last year. Take that to mean what it means. It could mean a lot of different things. One of the things it could mean is that church workers are more comfortable now reaching out for help. Mm-hmm. And so we're very, very happy that we are able to provide that type of a resource. And at Concordia Plans, we don't know who those people are. We don't know what's going on with you. We just see the numbers. And as the numbers grow, it means that people are getting, are reaching out for the help that they need. So mental health is certainly a big one. Physical well-being, it's always, you know, for some people, it can be a challenge. We hear from church workers, it can be challenging with the busy schedules, with so many meetings at night. I'm running in every direction. And so that makes it hard to find time to exercise. That might make it hard to find to eat healthier because you're maybe always on the go. And so we have programs that can incentivize healthier habits. Mm-hmm. We have programs that can incentivize healthier habits around physical well-being, financial well-being, even spiritual well-being through our Vitality program. If folks are eligible for that or can take advantage of that, and those folks can get rewarded through gift cards, and there are things you can earn points with, physical activity on the financial side. Financial health is another big area on the financial side. Meeting with a financial educator, attending a session, learning about some things that maybe you should be thinking about as you prepare for your financial present and future. So we hear a lot of these challenges on the financial side, specifically folks who don't really understand how to prepare themselves for retirement. Mm-hmm. And that comes with a lot of issues, right? It comes with, will they be ready to retire and to enjoy, you know, they've maybe given a life of service, and they should be able to retire in a way that would honor that. But also when they are worried, challenged with that, that's a lot of stress too on church workers. So we try to help in those areas too. So there's a lot of areas that we've seen challenges, and I think those will kind of always exist. We're just trying to draw more people over to resources that can help them. And that's where I think lay leaders can also be important, is if you are in our health plan, or even if you're not, if you're in another plan or some resource that has these types of things, you can encourage your pastor. You can encourage your church workers to say, have you looked into what programs might be available to you? Have you looked into, is there anything that might be able to help with this particular challenge you're dealing with? And encouragement, so that they might be a little more either knowledgeable or apt to take advantage of that.
That's fantastic.
Well, Dave, let me chime in here to say that as a pastor's wife and as a pastor's family, we are blessed to be in the Concordia Plans system. Our church provides Concordia Plans Health, and all of these that you've mentioned that CPS provides, we've been beneficiaries of, yeah. And we've taken advantage of. And so I'm grateful for that. But with that being said, we've done surveys of pastors and their spouses that have said that the number one impact that the these church workers have had and have felt have actually been from their congregation members,
sure.
their mm-hmm. lay leaders.
Absolutely.
And so with that being said, why do you think that is as many initiatives as Synod could have or that CPS could spearhead, why does it really boil down to kind of the onus of care for these workers being on the people whom are served by our church workers?
Yeah, it's a great point. And at Concordia Plans, you know, we've got great things going on and we send out emails and we go to conferences and conventions and we try to tell people this is what you have available to you. And that's all well and good. All those things need to happen because they do have an impact. But to your point, absolutely, those people in that local ministry community are going to know better than someone here, however many miles away, mm-hmm. however many states away. They are with pastor. They are with the school staff regularly. Maybe, you know, every weekend, or you drop your child, like I said, off at school every day, and you form a relationship with your child's teacher. And so you're able to recognize, well, I could tell maybe something. It's just like any other human being, right? We're human. I could tell something might be affecting him or her. I wonder if there's something there. And if you are in a position where as a leader, especially, you might be able to take that opportunity to sit down and say, hey, is there anything I could be helping you with? Is there anything that you're challenged with that you'd like to talk about? Maybe you feel like you don't have anyone to talk about, but I'm here and I want to help. It's that ability to observe and to know because I'm there, and it's that ability to do something more easily. And the answer for everybody is it's not the same answer for everybody that's going to help them or to know that they're cared for, or maybe it's the solution that they're looking for. So what makes sense for this church worker, his or her family, this community, how can we help? That proximity is huge. And if you don't know your pastor or your teacher in a way that would allow you, that would help you kind of make those determinations, then maybe that's a sign that you could get to know them. You could learn more about what is pastor like to do? What does he do when he gets time off? And maybe I could ask him if he wants to go play golf with me. All right. Cause I can learn, I can have that relationship, which could be really valuable and could go a long way in addition to all the other kind of messaging that Synod and Concordia Plans and others can share.
Yeah, thank you. Well, we have another episode in this season that's specifically about church worker appreciation. And as much as Synod and CPS can do, they can't provide babysitting for my family,
that's
you know?
Right.
They can't write a handwritten card to everyone, which we've already stated has a really big impact. And my husband being a pastor, I can just tell you that that kind of encouragement, the support that we get from our church family is truly what keeps us going. And it's not just a mental thing. It's very much a spiritual thing, too. We're in fleshed beings, and we work in body and spirit. And so to be encouraged and appreciated and supported by our lay people and our lay leaders,
sure.
It's the gas in the tank, you know, it mm-hmm. truly is.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And lay people do have that, maybe that lay leaders, I guess, maybe that extra level of insight. Maybe I'm spending that extra time with the pastor and I have the extra time to observe, hey, there's something going on here. Maybe we can help.
Mm-hmm. That's insightful. Well, as we wrap up our time together on this particular topic today, what are some ideas that we haven't yet had a chance to bring up and talk about
sure.
that you want to make sure the listeners hear about how you know, the congregation and the lay leaders can encourage the health and the holistic wellness of
yeah.
their church workers?
Absolutely. And some of the things, I've got a list here that I made with a colleague a couple summers ago now, and it's pretty helpful that maybe there's places some of this is already shared, but some of the stuff Steph talked about, which we don't need to go back over, if you're going to talk about Appreciation Month or church worker appreciation, absolutely, right? Sending the cards and the babysitting and those types of things make a lot of sense. If you are in a lay leader position, maybe you are on council or you're on elders or something, you might have a little bit more of ability to say, I mentioned the sabbatical, right? That's not the right fit everywhere, but what are we doing to make sure that pastor is taking care of himself? Is he really taking the day off or the whatever off each week that he's supposed to be? Are we not asking of him something at a time when we shouldn't? Like, be considerate of him, his schedule, his family schedule. Maybe as an elder who's, you know, elders are obviously concerned about the care and the well-being of those in the church, of the church body. Maybe an elder sits down with pastor twice a year intentionally and says, how's it going? What's happening in your world? How can we help as a board of elders or as a church body, and maybe with pastor's wife? I mean, and we can get those kind of insights instead of waiting for them, which might not happen, waiting for them to put a hand up and say, hey, we could use some help here. Ask where you might be able to be a resource that you can do things. There are other things, of course, if you're in a decision-making type of role, when you think about, like I kind of mentioned, vacation, if you think about compensation, and those are all things that are out there too, to show that you care for your church workers, that you can focus on. If you think about specifically health and wellness, if you have the ability to, maybe pastor or maybe the church staff doesn't have time to get away because their schedule's so crazy. Could we think about taking, maybe there's a room in our church building and we can get a couple of treadmills and we can dedicate a space and say, hey, that's there for you. If you want to go in there, whatever time of day, how many times a week, and the church is paying for that because we think that's important for you to be able to take that time for yourself. And maybe you do it all before you go home in the evening or whatever the case is. So there are a lot of big things, little things, things in between, creative ideas that folks can use to show their church workers that they care.
Those are all great ideas, and I hope that they will be really inspirational to people who might be listening to this and think creatively about what can we do that can help our church workers. Well, thank you so much, Dave, for joining us today. We appreciate all of our listeners listening to God's Mission here.
Thanks for joining us. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review and don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button so that you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. God's Mission Here is a podcast that discusses Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, and how He delivers those gifts where you live and serve.